If you don't know who I am, I'm Miranda, or Mer, whatever works. I've done a lot of stuff at Overflow. I'm in the worship band. I speak sometimes, and we do all sorts of stuff. And right now, in the Christmas spirit, we are in a series about what it would really mean if we as Christians meant what we say at Christmas time. Because it's so easy to get wrapped up in the busyness of the season and getting to all the family events and getting thoughtful gifts for everyone, but then also trying to be present at the same time. It's just a lot of chaos. And we realize that it's difficult, but just as Isaiah talked about last week, the first week in this series, we need to remember that Jesus really is the reason for the season. And as proclaimed Christians, Jesus is our reason, our new life, and we are so grateful for his birth and even later his sacrifice. And tonight we're going to continue this series by talking about the phrase, Merry Christmas. In case you're unsure of what that means, Merry means cheerful and lively or joyful. It means just having a joyful Christmas season. It's such a simple phrase and is almost overused. However, I do think it's going a little bit out of style right now. Everyone is getting offended, I guess is the right word, by the phrase Merry Christmas. Because they like to say that people celebrate different things in the world, and we should say happy holidays. And I just want to say that there are tons of people in the world, and we are called to speak life to anyone who will listen. I just wanted to point out that no matter what you say, just being respectful, honest, and loving is going to make a bigger difference than the phrase that you use, however that looks for you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the phrase Merry Christmas specifically, but do be aware that some people may enjoy the phrase Happy Holidays or enjoy the season more than a phrase surrounding our faith. Not to say that Merry Christmas isn't very powerful and can represent us very well, but just to be aware that it's out there and that non-Christians might not like it as much. Tonight we are going to be reading in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be going through a lot of scripture, verses 26 through 45. It's a lot, but we're going to kind of break it down and talk about it. So let's start in Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So let's just talk about this first half. Can we talk about how trusting Mary is here? Imagine you're in her position. Imagine being told as a virgin that you're going to be carrying the Lord, and then you barely question it. If this was a TV show, if I was watching this, if this was a movie, I would be confused. I'd probably be yelling at my TV, like, "You're not mad, you're not upset at all, you're not confused." And first, an angel Which, by the way, the angels that you put on your tree aren't exactly what they look like. They're a little bit scarier than that. And Mary is scared at first. But then you trust in the Lord that much that you're able to say, "May your word to me be fulfilled." That's some real trust. And I probably would have raised my voice a few times. Like, are you sure? Like, me. You want me to do this? This sounds like so much work, and this isn't real. You're not serious. But just to be able to step back and say, I'm happy to be fulfilling the Lord's will, and I believe what you've told me will happen. That takes a lot of guts. Mary is willing to sacrifice her life for this. Just like Isaiah talked about last week, if someone has found that you've cheated on your spouse, you're stoned by the entire town. So Mary is risking a painful death, and she sacrifices her life to raise a child, and not just any child. She's not just a virgin that gets pregnant, right? She is having the Son of God. I don't know if you've raised a child. I haven't raised a child. But it's a lot of work and pressure and dedication and love and exhaustion. But not to mention, Mary has this pressure of the unknown, of what's to come of this Lord that she is going to bear. Now let's get into these next few verses. We have Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who is currently pregnant with her child, later to be known as John the Baptist. This is often called the Visitation, and this is the same Elizabeth that the angel talks about having a child in her late age. So that's already a miracle. And in Mary's eagerness and probably some worry, right, she visits someone she knows will understand. Right? Elizabeth has had this miraculous conception as well, and she's going through somewhat of a similar thing, not the exact same, but she visits someone that she knows will understand and maybe help to give her some of that peace. Like, have you ever been like a nervous, excited, and you like couldn't wait to tell someone about it? Just so ready to share this word with someone understanding, who will understand how excited and like nervous you are for it. Like you got accepted to a certain college, or you finally finished a big project and you wanna showcase it, and you just have to tell that one person. Maybe it's your mom or your sibling, whoever that looks like to you, your best friend. For me, that's a constant thing with gifts, like giving presents. I get so excited during like the Christmas season, and I'm really bad at keeping those secrets in. So I'm constantly like finding people who are around them, who know them, being like, hey, do you think that this person will like this gift? I really think that they'll like this gift. I think it's cool. Like, have you seen it? Do you know about it? And also I have to tell you, because otherwise I'm gonna tell this person. It's a whole thing. It's just like that nervous, excited. And Mary is feeling all of those feelings on a huge scale, like huge level. So let's look at this interaction between her and her cousin when she comes to visit with no announcement. She comes with no announcement at all. Elizabeth doesn't know that Mary is coming or what the angel has told Mary. So we start in verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So we know that Mary greeted Elizabeth, right? And this is actually a huge deal in Jewish culture, greeting people upon seeing them and especially upon entering their home. So Mary probably said something along the lines of peace to you or blessings as she came in. And immediately on that one statement, Elizabeth feels John the Baptist in her womb leap with joy, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. So just think about what a joyous time that is for Elizabeth to just be filled with the Holy Spirit in the pure joy of the Lord. And she's so excited. She gets so joyous that she yells. She exclaims with excitement. She hasn't been told that this is happening, and she's just immediately so joyous. And she's so joyful that she even asks, like, what have I done to deserve you in my presence? Her own cousin is here, and she wants to know how she deserves to sit in the presence of the mother of the Lord, which to me, first look, is amazingly humbling to notice, to have someone that you used to be close family with is now the mother of Jesus. And being able to humble yourself in the presence of God is something remarkable. And she not only humbles herself here, but she says, blessed is she. She's commending Mary's faith, saying, how great is your faith that you know the Lord will fulfill his promises to you. I think that's so cool of Elizabeth to be able to say, this is a amazing thing that you're doing. That is an amazing faith that you have, that you are able to do this. So we know that when Mary entered the house, Elizabeth didn't necessarily know that she was pregnant. So how did she know? And it's honestly all in the Holy Spirit. It was actually prophecy that John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. We read that in John 1:15. And it was also prophesied to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that John the Baptist would go before the Lord and prepare people for his coming in John 1:17. So this was all told to Zechariah, but they did not know that Mary would be the one to carry Jesus in this lifetime right now. So I think it's very interesting that she doesn't necessarily know or understand, but the Holy Spirit enters her and John, and they immediately are full of unspeakable joy of the coming of Jesus. And we can be just as joyous as Elizabeth was. We can be like Mary and spread that joy of Jesus to others and be blessed through that. Have you ever made someone laugh and just felt pure joy afterwards? Or made someone's day just by being there for them and then just feel so purely happy? And that's what the Christmas season is. It's joy. It's pure joy of the Lord coming through us as Christians. We know that everyone gets wrapped up in what society has to say about this holiday, everything that's stacked up. We understand how easy it is to be obsessed with the schedule and acting perfect for family and friends and others. And honestly, some of us can probably understand the hardship of the holidays as well. Missing loved ones that we've lost, fighting with family members or friends even, or maybe even feeling like we don't have someone to share this holiday with, that there's no one there to be surrounded by, to be connected with when everybody else is having fun with people that they love. And it's a crazy time for all of us, but if we can take a second of our day to say Merry Christmas to someone, it can really make their day or their season. And if you find this time to be hard, I recommend that you continue to lean on the Lord. I really want you to press into him during this time and get vulnerable with the people around you. Get vulnerable with the people around you right now, with the people sitting next to you, with someone you trust, and talk about how you actually feel. Because talking about your feelings helps you release the negative energy and get your truest self out there. It feels so good. Even if you hate the Christmas season, just say it. Just get it out there. Talk about it. Talk about why. Being vulnerable is a really good step to increasing your mood. Even if you don't feel that joy level yet, it helps you relieve that stress and helps the other people around you love you better. So let's talk about a couple ways that we can spread this Mary and Elizabeth level of joy that may be difficult for some and chaotic for others. One thing is, inviting people in is insanely effective. Telling someone that they're welcome to come into your home, to come to your dinner, to come spend time with you, allows them to feel celebrated, to feel like they have something to celebrate. You can celebrate people, give compliments, and spend time with someone to make them feel like they have something. Share the love of Jesus through loving others. Tell someone to have a Merry Christmas or you are loved, because it's so much more impactful than we think it is. Let's celebrate this time of God's blessing to the world by sharing joyous times with others, whatever that may look like for you. And let's be like Mary and spread that love, and be like Elizabeth and share joy with everyone, including Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for this time. No matter what it looks like, God, whether it's hard or easy or fun or stressful, God, we thank you that we have this time here to celebrate you, to love you, to learn about you, and to have a relationship with you, God. We thank you for allowing us to be in this place of worship where we can freely worship you, to freely learn about you, God. We thank you for joy that it's in this world and that we are able to share your love with others. I pray that you would continue to give us the patience, the joy, the everything, God, to just love on everybody else this season, because we know that that's hard and that it can't always come from just us, God. It has to come from you. We need your help to spread your love, God. We need you to continue to fill us up so that we are able to pour out onto others. We love and appreciate the birth of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he later makes. We thank you so much for your sacrifice, for this time, for your heart, for your love, God. We thank you and we praise you. And it's in your name.